co-funded by the European Union. Views and opinions expressed are, however, those of the authors only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union. Neither the European Union nor the granting authority can be held responsible for them.
Today in the EU, farmers take center stage in parties' EU election campaigns. After being neglected for years in the public debate, agriculture has become a hot topic at the EU level in recent years, particularly due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, an agricultural powerhouse, food inflation, farmers' protests, and climate change. It's really a combination of factors that have put agriculture under the spotlight. There's not a single trigger. This means agriculture features heavily at the electoral manifestos and campaigns for many parties. Hello and welcome. I am Evi Chiori, and this is Today in the EU. But to discuss this further, I'm joined by Sofia Sanchez Manzanaro, our agri-food reporter. Sofia, what factors have propelled agriculture to the forefront of EU discussions, and why has it become a focal point in electoral manifestos, particularly for the EPP?
Well, I think the reason is clear for many citizens. I have seen their cities paralyzed with tractors and manure dumps at government buildings, etc. So the farmer protests have put the focus again into the issues that the agricultural sector has been facing. I don't think that these issues are new. These are grievances that have been expressed for years by farmers, but there have been certain national triggers, such as an attempt from German government to phase out tax breaks for fuel used in agriculture, etc., that has prompted this wave of protests. And of course, political parties like the European People's Party have tried to capitalize on this protest for electoral gains.
They even say that they are the farmers' party. Where do they base this statement?
This strategy is not new. I have to say that it doesn't come from the protests. It started way before, in 2023. We started to see a shift in how the EPP addressed in negotiations these files from the farm-to-fork strategy. So farm-to-fork strategy is the agricultural and food part of the Green Deal. So it was this big package with new legislation, very ambitious for the sector. It wanted to improve the sustainability of the food system. So the EPP has started to just kill entire legislative files from the farm to fork. For instance, we saw this with the nature restoration law, with a pesticide reduction plan. So normally political parties will try to amend a regulation, propose changes. And maybe in the case of the EPP, they will try to weaken the sustainability ambitions. But it's not normal in any policy area to try to just torpedo the entire thing.
And how is their policy different from other parties?
I think they are putting the focus a lot on food security, which is a buzzword these days. I mean, also council leaders are shifting towards food security. Food security means cutting dependencies on imports, just making sure that the EU is sovereign on food production. We cannot say that we are at risk of not having sufficient food for the bloc. We have food availability. We are the largest exporters in the world. There is enough food for everyone in the EU. It's just, it has become very trendy to speak about food security. It is also true, production can be threatened by climate change, extreme weather events is something that conservative parties also recognize. Drought, floods, etc. They have destroyed entire harvest in the recent years. Then the geopolitical challenges, if we are dependent on certain countries for imports of grain, for instance, to feed animals. And then we have a problem like, well, the war in Ukraine.
So it really seems like Europe wants to be prepared in case of these events taking place.
Yes, there are different ways of reaching those goals of being prepared. Let's say the EPP and other conservative parties with the focus on producing more. Other parties like the Greens and the left and partially the socialists will say, no, maybe we can just reduce our meat consumption so we don't have to import that many grains to feed our pigs, and we could shift towards protein, plant-based protein. So there are different ways of reaching this goal. Definitely, EPP is going for the food security angle, trying to give more flexibility in the common agricultural policy, so less rules, which also means less environmental rules.
And you're mentioning the socialist group, and rumor has it that there is an internal division regarding the agricultural policies. How do they affect them in terms of stability?
In agricultural matters, the socialists have been a bit divided. We see this big gap in the European Parliament between the Agricultural Committee and the Environment Committee. And it was clear that the socialists in the Agricultural Committee, for example, a prominent MEP is Clara Aguilera. She comes from Spain. She's the leader of the socialist in Agri, which and has a more, less ambitious position when it comes to tightening sustainability requirements for farming, whereas their party colleagues in the Environment Committee, like Mohamed Shaheem, Cesar Luena has been the negotiator of the nature restoration law, for instance, mm-hmm. they have been more ambitious and they have tried to just uphold this ambition from the European Commission of the farm to fork strategy. So it was really evident that there were an important difference in opinions and in many files. The challenge for the next mandate is trying to find a common line or strike a balance so these divisions are not as evident.
And in what ways does Renew address the challenges of balancing reduced bureaucracy with support for sustainable food production in their agricultural policy platform?
Renew wants to content everyone. Mm-hmm. They have suffered similar challenges and the socialists. They have also been divided. And it was more evident because they have been divided in votes, for instance, for nature restoration law. So they allied some liberal MEPs with the far right and the conservatives in general, and with APP as well. And those votes were decisive in making the nature restoration law move to the next legislative mm-hmm. step or not. So the liberals want to reduce administrative burden, as you say, and they also want to ensure a fair distribution of added value in the food supply chain. So let's put this in easier words. Basically, mm-hmm. farmers complain that the value of the products only gets to the end of the chain, so to the retailers or to the middleman, but farmers get very low prices for mm-hmm. the products, and then consumers pay higher and higher prices for the product. So where is that money going? So what Renew was trying to say, and what the Commission has been trying to address recently too, is like, oh, let's see where is that money going, where is mm-hmm. that added value going? And Renew is saying, let's see how we can redistribute it in a fair way. Also, they want to compensate farmers more. So instead of the stick, let's say that has been the strategy now, so more regulation for farmers, well, they want to put the carrot, so mm-hmm. it's more incentives. So it's something that the APP also wants. The Commission in general is shifting towards this. Let's just make everything voluntary, and then you will get the reward.
Another big player in the EU's political arena will be ECR. So what's their approach to agriculture? We know that the far-right parties are trying to approach farmers. Why is that the case, and why are farmers so important to them?
For ECR, they didn't release a manifesto yet. The vision is quite clear, as well as less rules, less bureaucracy. They are nationalist parties, so normally they want more power to be given to EU member states to decide regulations in general and rules not to be made in Brussels. One of the dominant players in the ECR is the Polish Law and Justice Party. In the PIS, we know they really rely on rural areas. So definitely the parties that form ECR and ECR have a very important interest in the farming sector because mm-hmm. it's just a key pool of votes for them. And also that's why the EPP, in a way, is trying to position itself as the farmers' party to try to make sure to retain votes from rural areas and steal some from the far right. For instance, in the last local elections in Poland, which were a few weeks ago, again, the PIS scored a victory in rural mm-hmm, areas. Mm-hmm. They were the most voted party. So it is really relevant. Also, we had a very relevant personality during the current mandate linked to the ECR, which is the Commissioner for Agriculture, Jarosław Wojciechowski, mm-hmm. which was named by the former Polish government, so by the PIS. He has a controversial relationship with the Franz Timmermans, the former Green Deal chief, and others at the Commission that pushed for the farm to fork. He had a more conservative approach to agriculture. But at the end, in the wake of the farmer protest, he's own party, the PIS, has turned the back on him and asked for his resignation because they consider that he did not do enough to stop mm-hmm. the wave of legislation of the Green Deal.
What about the Greens? What are their priorities regarding agriculture and how do they differ from the policies proposed by other political groups?
Well, the Greens are expected to focus again on sustainability as they have done during the current term. They have played a pivotal role in pushing for the Farm to Fork strategy and the Green Deal agenda since they were the fourth largest group in Parliament. Mm-hmm. They, of course, propose again the pesticide reduction plans that were abandoned by the Commission during this term, highly controversial proposal. And they want to shift from the subsidy model of per hectare payments. So basically now the CAP gives money depending on how big your farm is. So the bigger the farm, the more money you get. They want to just prioritize funds for sustainable agricultural practices. Also, they want to strengthen the plant-based protein sector because right now we import a lot of soy, for instance, from third countries because we don't have a lot mm-hmm. of plant-based protein production in the continent and instead of focusing on animal protein products. And of course, a big ask is to maintain the current GMO rules. So the rules for genetically modified mm-hmm. organisms that has been also a very controversial file during the current term is still being negotiated by the ministers of the council. But basically, this regulation will weaken the existing rules to allow some sort of gene editing techniques in Europe that right now are really tightly restricted. Mm-hmm. And the Greens wanted to stay this way. They don't want GMOs or gene editing crops and food in Europe.
And while mentioning GMOs, how could the outcome of the EU elections influence the direction of agricultural policies, especially in terms of sustainability and environmental protection?
In terms of GMOs, for instance, the Parliament managed to adopt a position before the election, so in February. The main issue now is, well, if the new Parliament will just push for the same that they had voted. I think it is expected that they will. I don't think the shift will be that different. In this case, the GMO file is really stuck at the council level. Some member states, particularly Poland, be very reluctant to approve it. But for the rest, for the direction of sustainability, of course, the formation of the new parliament will be really important because we see that there is already a weakened ambition to continue with this agenda. I mean, since the farmer protest, politicians in general have just shied away from proposing more rules. It will be crucial also because we will start negotiations for the next period of the common agricultural policy post-2027. And it will be very interesting to see if this flexibility, so weakened conditionality and rules for farmers to get the money, if this stays this way for the next period of the common agricultural policy, the Greens are expected to lose seats, for instance. They will not be the fourth force in Parliament. So this push that there has been to approve agricultural, sustainable agricultural legislation will not be as intense. And with the rise of the far right, of course, it will be different indeed.
Thank you, Sofia, for joining us on this episode. I am Evgeori, and this was Your Actives Today in the EU podcast. Visit Your Actives to stay on top of the latest news, sign up for our podcast newsletter, and if you haven't subscribed or followed us yet, you can find us on all streaming platforms. Also, make sure to leave a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Your reviews help us to spread the word for our content. This episode was produced by Miriam Sainz de Tejada and Nicoleta Yonta. Thank you for tuning in. We will be with you again tomorrow morning. As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, Your Active is part of the Trust Project.